Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to Mount Logan Capital Q3 2019 results conference call. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that except for historical information, the matters discussed during this call may include forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable Canadian securities legislation. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties and other factors that may cause actual financial results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from estimated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by those forward-looking statements. All forward-looking statements reflect the company's current views with respect to future events and are subject to risks and uncertainties and assumptions we have made in drawing the conclusions included in such forward-looking statements. The company is not obligated to update or revise any forward-looking statements, and we do not assume any obligation to do so. For a description of the risks associated with Mount Logan Capital's business, as well as information about the material factors and assumptions that could cause results to differ from any forward-looking statements and other relevant factors, please refer to the company's public disclosure record, particularly the company's MD&A and annual information form of the year ended December 31st, 2018, which are available on SEDAR. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Ted Goldthorpe, Chief Executive Officer of Mount Logan Capital. Mr. Goldthorpe, you may begin.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone. Thank you for joining us for our third quarter 2019 results call. During the call, we'll be referring to information provided in the financial statements, the MD&A, and the associated news release for the quarter, all of which are available on our website and on SEDAR. Joining me this morning, we have Ted Gilpin, Chief Financial Officer, and Matthias Ederer, our Co-President. During the third quarter of 2019, Mount Logan Capital continued to grow book value, underpinned by the growth and performance of our portfolio of investments. We generated record quarterly investment income of 1 million dollars in the quarter. We are currently fully invested, which investors will continue to see flowing through our earnings going forward. Given our relatively fixed base of operating expenses, we have an immense amount of operating leverage, and we expect to deliver even stronger net income as we continue to scale Mount Logan Capital. In September, we raised additional equity capital with the completion of a small private placement at 0.56 a share. We view the pricing of this private placement as a testament to the value in our stock, and we'll continue to evaluate other opportunities to raise equity capital and grow Mount Logan in the near term. This past quarter, we also executed on our commitment to initiate our asset management vertical with the signing of our first asset management contract with a large-scale U.S.-based insurance company. This contract contributed fee income for the quarter and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. We continue to advance discussions on strategic partnerships with numerous entities that would drive recurring management fee income, and we look forward to progressing these partnerships in 2020. I'll now let our Co-President, Matthias Ederer, provide some commentary on our portfolio.
Thank you, Ted, and good morning, everyone. We are very pleased with the continued performance of our portfolio, its diversified nature, and its overall yield profile. As of September 30th, 79% of our portfolio, excluding Cline, consisted of first lien senior secured debt, with the remaining 21% invested in the Great Lakes joint venture unitranche program and promissory notes. During the quarter, we continued to add funding to our 10 million dollar commitment to the Great Lakes unitranche joint venture that enables Mount Logan to gain exposure to a diversified portfolio of proprietary, floating rate, sponsor-backed middle market loans that pay a quarterly cash yield. Our investment is currently funded up to 9.6 million dollars, and based on the current pipeline, we expect this commitment to be nearly fully funded by the end of the year. We continue to grow our pipeline of investment opportunities and remain focused on looking for proprietary investments which provide us with attractive yields and manageable risk. One recent portfolio realization we wanted to highlight was our investment in BioGold Canada. Through relationships of the Mount Logan management team, we were able to source and structure a highly downside-protected first lien term loan. The high-level economic terms of the instrument were a 15% cash coupon, 20 points of original issue discount, and a 1.5% commitment fee. This aggregate facility of $20 million contained numerous covenants and was backed by an estimated collateral value of $270 million, implying a sub-10% loan-to-value. With a six-month maturity, we monetized the investment earlier this month at par and earned a 97% IRR and a 1.37 times multiple of capital. This debt investment exemplifies the proprietary, low-levered, high-return potential and strong downside protection of our investments that our sourcing and execution capabilities can deliver on. With the proceeds from this realization, we will redeploy the funds into similar investments and grow our portfolio further. Overall, while we are highly satisfied with our current portfolio construction, we will continue to opportunistically refine the portfolio based on new investment opportunities and broader market conditions. With that, I'll pass it back to Ted Goldberg.
Thanks, Matthias. Before we review our financial performance for the quarter, I'd also like to take the opportunity to provide a brief introduction to our newly appointed Chief Financial Officer, Ted Gilpin. We've worked with Ted over the past year and have been impressed by his judgment, his 30-plus years of experience across the financial industry, and his track record in running public companies, most notably KCAP Financial or Portman Ridge, a U.S. publicly traded business development company. Mr. Gilpin has served as the CFO of KCAP Financial since 2012. Prior to that, he served as the Chief Financial Officer at Associated Renewable and as Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Ram Holdings, a provider of financial guarantee reinsurance. Prior to that, he was the Executive Vice President, Chief Financial Officer, and Director of ACA Capital Holdings, a holding company that provides asset management services and credit protection products. Prior to joining ACA Capital, Mr. Gilpin was the Vice President of in Financial Institutions Group at Prudential Securities Investment Banking Division. Ted Gilpin has been involved behind the scenes at Mount Logan since April 2019, and we felt like now is the appropriate time for him to take the reins as our Chief Financial Officer going forward. With that introduction, I'll turn the call over to Ted Gilpin, who will review the financial results.
Thanks, Ted. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to say it's a pleasure to join the management team of Mount Logan, and I'm excited to serve as the Chief Financial Officer. I look forward to overseeing the capital market strategy and the financial planning and reporting of Mount Logan Capital. I will now summarize our key highlights for the third quarter of 2019. As a reminder, Mount Logan reporting currency was revised in the second quarter of 2019 from Canadian dollars to U.S. dollars. And unless otherwise specified otherwise, all figures I will reference today are in U.S. dollars. For the 3 months ended September 30th, 2019, we generated $990,000 in investment income, which is up from $21,000 in the third quarter of 2018. Of note, while interest income remains our largest contributor to revenue at $839,000 for the quarter, our investment in the Great Lakes Unitranche joint venture generated $140,000 in dividend income, and this quarter marks our first occurrence of asset management activities, which generated $11,000 in fee income for the quarter. For Q3, we recorded net realized gains of $193,000 due to the profitable dispositions in the portfolio. During the quarter, we faced a net unrealized gain of $339,000 on foreign currency related to the change in reporting currency. Specifically, we're required to convert our U.S. dollar-denominated securities into Canadian dollar value at the time of purchase and then back into the U.S. dollar value at the reporting period date, when in fact the investment has been held in dollars for the whole period. Therefore, the unrealized gain or loss in the period just reflects the changes in the relative value of the Canadian dollar to the U.S. dollar during the period. To mitigate the potential swings in unrealized gains and losses related to FX, we are exploring switching our functional currency from the Canadian dollar to the U.S. dollar. On the expense side, professional fees related to legal, audit, and tax consulting amounted to $93,000 during the quarter. Utilizing our leverage facility, Mount Logan incurred $484,000 in interest and other credit facility expenses as a result of drawings under the loan facility. This included interest of $353,000 and an amortization of deferred financing costs of $131,000. Other costs, including director's fees, regulatory and shareholder relations, and other general and administrative costs, remained relatively consistent from Q2 to Q3. For the third quarter, our total and comprehensive income was $682,000, or a penny per weighted average share, up from a loss of a penny per weighted average share from the third quarter of 2018. Mount Logan's balance sheet reflects total assets of $72.7 million, total liabilities of $38.6 million, shareholders' equity of $34.1 million, up $1.6 million quarter over quarter, and a net asset value per share of 40 cents. The asset balance at quarter end largely consisted of the $64.3 million investment portfolio, the $5.2 million balance in cash, and $2.8 million in deferred tax asset. Liabilities predominantly included debt from our leverage facility of $34.4 million and the fair value of the Klein investment associated with the contingent value rights. As a reminder on Klein, this is an investment in equity and debt that remains from Merit Resource Corp. Prior to the plan of arrangement, as previously disclosed on July 15, 2019, it was announced that Klein entered into a conditional term sheet for the proposed sale to Allegiance Coal Limited of all of the shares in NECC. From last quarter, there was no material update on Klein, and accordingly, the fair value and related contingent value rights were held steady for this quarter. As a reminder, the change of value in Klein does not directly affect Mount Logan. Rather, former Merit Resource Corporation shareholders hold contingent value rights that entitle the holders to the net proceeds that are received from the sale of Klein or any distributions related to the investment. With that, I will now turn the call back to Ted Goldthorpe for some closing remarks.
Thanks, Ted. Overall, we are very pleased with our performance in the quarter and look forward to continue to refine our portfolio based on market conditions, evaluate new and proprietary investment opportunities, and advance discussions with strategic partners in order to commence generating meaningful recurring management fee income. We feel confident in our ability to continue to grow book value going forward. As you recall from our annual general meeting on May 2019, our board of directors has the authorization to pursue a share consolidation of up to 10-to-1 to achieve more institutional share price. We intend to execute on our share consolidation near the higher end of this range in the fourth quarter of 2019. Following the share consolidation, we will declare and pay a dividend in advance of year-end. We look forward to continue to grow our presence in Canada and have a meaningful dialogue with existing and prospective shareholders. Thank you for your time today, and we look forward to updating you via press releases in the near term and our next earnings release in 2020. We'll now transition the call to a Q&A session if the operator could please coordinate.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and ensure that your telephone line is unmuted locally. You'll then be advised when to ask your question. That's star 1. The first question comes from the line of Kihan Tenke, calling from GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, team. I'm just wondering if you could talk to, because we've had some pretty material movements in the rate environment in the U.S. since the previous quarter, could you talk to the competitive landscape on the deal flow pipeline? Has it been positive, negative, and how you see that going forward?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think there's two parts to the question. One is most of our portfolio is LIBOR-based, but we're match-funded on the liability side. So changes in LIBOR don't have a huge impact on us because, obviously, we're paying on both sides of our portfolio. So changes to short-term rates, we're not overly sensitive to it because we have relatively small amounts of fixed rate exposure. In terms of competitive environment, I would say we continue to find a lot of value in the non-sponsor channel. The loan market in the U.S., the liquid loan markets in the U.S., who is a derivative competitor of ours, has become much more challenged and choppy over the last couple months. So that has allowed us to kind of sell ourselves uncertainty of execution. And we mentioned one of the loans that we made and realized this quarter. But we're seeing many more opportunities to kind of provide higher returning capital with certainty than what we saw, call it, 3 months ago. The sponsor channel continues to be very competitive. We're seeing a number of sponsor processes get pulled due to things not reaching pricing expectations. But that being said, you know, the sponsor finance channel continues to be very competitive, but it's been competitive for 10 years. So I don't think we've seen a material change on the competitive environment in our sponsor.
Thanks, Ted. I appreciate the color there. And maybe just moving to the asset manager contract that you guys signed, is it possible to talk about any, at this point, the economics behind that contract, or how does the fee structure work, or is it still kind of early days for that?
Yeah, I mean the asset management contract we signed is largely for performing loans, so for, you know, first lien, you know, safe loans. And so it's largely management fee oriented. So there's no, you know, we on a typical structure on something like that is we get a piece of the upfront fees, and then we get management fees going forward on the loan book. So we're obviously hoping to grow that over time, you know, as we build out our business.
Okay, and then just as a quick follow-up to that, last question from me. Could you talk anecdotally to the pipeline for, you know, the volume of meetings you're having for potential new asset manager agreements, or any kind of color you can give on the pipeline there? What's the appetite for, you know, your kind of investment asset class, and what's the reaction been, and what kind of institutional investors are you seeing the most traction with?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I would say, you know, in general, I'd say a couple things. One is the gestation period, so from when we go from first meeting to actually close an asset management contract, continues to lengthen. So these things just take a long time to get done. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, it is an interesting time because, you know, on the one hand, our investors have a lot of demand for yield. You know, rates have gone down a lot. So, the things that we're originating, I think, a really good relative value vis-a-vis, you know, what's happening in Europe and just general rates. So on the one hand, you know, there's a lot of demand for yield. The flip side is, you know, I think there's a increasing amount of caution amongst our LP base around the credit cycle and the economy and a recession's coming and everything else. So on the one hand, people know they need yield. The flip side is, you know, people are kind of scared about, you know, a credit cycle. So I'd say, I mean, that's a long-winded way of saying, you know, we continue to have a lot of dialogue with our LPs, but I would say demand for private credit is probably down year over year, mostly due to the you know, worries about the economic environment. So nothing to do with our track record or our performance or what we're doing, just more of a commentary around you know, global macro conditions.
Thank you.
We have no further questions in the queue, so as a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypads now. The next question comes from the line of Charles Burns calling from CIBC Wood Gundy. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Actually, your last comment answered my question about the share consolidation and dividend. I just wanted to confirm, you said that would be before the end of this year?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we plan on doing this.
Okay.
Yep.
And would
yeah,
that
so,
be...
As we said previously, we are going to do a reverse share consolidation, and in conjunction with that, you know, we're hoping to declare a dividend.
Oh, okay. And would that be in conjunction with any additional money being raised at the same time? Or I think you might have mentioned that as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we would love to announce it in conjunction with a capital raise. I wouldn't say it's definitive, but it's something obviously that would be very good for shareholders. If you take a big step back, you know, our cost base of the vehicle is relatively fixed. And if you run the math, we're actually running this very, very efficiently. Like, if you just look at non-interest costs, it's a very low number. So incremental equity, even small amounts of equity, all that drops to the bottom line, you know, obviously net of interest. So, you know, we are exploring lots and lots of ways, both strategically but also organically, just to grow our business.
Okay. And just one final thing, the money that was wired fraudulently, has most of that now been recovered?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the way the press release was worded, so the way I describe it is this: we have recovered the majority of the money, and we are aggressively pursuing the remaining balance. So, you know, obviously we'll have more to report on that next quarter. But, you know, again, you can imagine that we're applying all the resources of the firm to try and mitigate the issue.
Okay. Thanks very much.
We have no further questions coming through, so I'd like to hand the call back over to Mr. Goldthorpe for any concluding remarks.
Thank you for everyone's time this morning. As always, we're happy to make ourselves available if there are questions in the future, and we look forward to speaking to you next quarter. Thanks again for your continued interest and support of Mount Logan Capital.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your lines. Hosts, please stay connected.